Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, Ireland will have to do more with less in its efforts to tackle the housing crisis because of a national shortage of construction workers. That's according to Further and Higher Education Minister James Lawless, who told the Irish Times this week that Ireland will need to adopt modern methods of construction to make up for the labour force gap. So what are these modern methods and why aren't we using them already? Orla Hegarty of UCD's School of Architecture is on the line. Good evening, Orla.
Good evening.
Answer that question for me, Orla. What methods is the minister talking about here?
Well, it's very broad brush, the term that's been used for modern methods of construction now. And they're really talking about structural systems that aren't what people might be used to, which would be block. You know, traditionally, we would have seen houses built in blockwork. And more increasingly, we're seeing more timber frame and we're seeing concrete frame and steel frames in apartment buildings and things like that. And it also then moves into off-site construction, where large parts of the building or parts of the structure are built in factories and then brought to site and assembled on site. So it covers a whole range of different techniques.
Have we done this here at any scale before?
This is a, you know, I suppose the question is, what type of construction is he talking about? I mean, if he's talking about factory built homes, there certainly has been some of that in recent years. And we have seen some of maybe things like the housing that was done for Ukrainians as, you know, small two bedroom bungalows that was done on a couple of sites over recent years. They were built off site. But more broadly, internationally, I suppose there's always been a big push towards this as a quick fix solution to housing. But generally, it hasn't ended very well, because the economics of it often don't stack up. You know, the construction industry is very cyclical. So when there is pressure on, it can seem that if we got a factory up and running, we would be turning out houses faster and we would build quicker. But you have to build a factory and then you have to transport very large units. So the cost of all that weighed against this cost of on-site construction can mean that, you know, when the economics of it changes, that suddenly on-site construction is cheaper again. And we've seen that many, many times over the past. In fact, both New Zealand and the UK have had a collapse of off-site construction companies in the last number of years, where the numbers just didn't add up and they weren't the most economic option. So we need to be very careful about thinking that this is a quick fix, I think.
But is there a quick fix? What should we be looking at in terms of speeding up construction and being able to manage with, you know, a situation where we just don't have enough construction workers to do the job?
Well, I'd love to see the minister look at modern methods of design and modern methods of procurement first, because we have a huge amount of inefficiencies in the system. You know, I think we would be better looking at procuring materials in a different way so that we can make some economies there, because I don't think the minister is looking at this as a way of making housing more affordable, which really is our key target at the moment. But he's more thinking of it in terms of having fewer workers on site. And there are certainly ways we could do that more efficiently, I think. We also need to be careful with, you know, fast, quick solutions, that sometimes the push for lightweight construction or things that can be built quickly. We really need our housing to last 100 years. We don't want to be replacing it within a generation. And, you know, our more traditional construction, I suppose, was more resilient for things like fire and water ingress and rodents. And if we start to build very lightweight structures in our climate, we can be more vulnerable. And if we start to build very densely in lightweight materials, we have higher fire risks and things that need to be mitigated. And, you know, mitigating all of that has its own costs and its own technical challenges as well. So, you know, I would question maybe some of his numbers. Looking at the Society of Chartered Surveyors breakdown for the construction cost of a house, the superstructure is only about 17% of their breakdown. So making shavings off that isn't going to make much difference. But it might make a difference in terms of finance, you know, if you can build things more quickly.
When you say superstructure...
That's all of the structural elements above the ground. So, you know, substructure would be the foundation.
Did you just say 17%? Is
of the structural elements, yeah. Wow. In a developer built house. Now, obviously, in a developer built house, it's a very resource heavy model, that there's a lot of overhead because of finance and other costs. So the actual building cost is only about 50% of what developers are selling a house for.
And of course, we know land and the cost of land is a huge part of that as well.
All of that, yeah. And increasingly, you know, because we have a lot of inflationary policies that are increasing land values.
But does the minister have a point, though? He talks about student accommodation being over-specced, and that, you know, do students really need to have individual en suites attached to every single student bedroom?
Well, I think we're falling into this trap of thinking that the only way to achieve affordability is to cut standards. I mean, you know, that's not the way to do it. You have to build properly, and where efficiencies can be made, you don't need to make it by cutting standards. We have to build student housing for the long term, and a lot of our students are not teenagers. You know, they are mature students and they're international postgraduates.
But Orla, a lot of our students are teenagers, or are they, you know, in their early 20s, and I think a lot of people would be, you know, would be happy enough to share a bathroom maybe with somebody that they're sharing with rather than having to pay the prices they have to for, you know, en-suite single accommodation.
I think they might be happy to pay if it was cheaper. I don't think the intention here is to make it cheaper. It's to keep the profit margins and deal with construction inflation. So we're not talking about making it cheaper. And as if, you know, unless student accommodation suddenly became half of the price, I think we're still going to see a lot of students suffering and doing long commutes rather than being in purpose-built student accommodation.
It does seem, though, from what the minister was saying, that there's an acceptance now that there isn't any way, excuse me, to get the number of construction workers we actually need, that there is going to be a very clear shortfall. Can you see any way around that?
Well, the first place to start, I think, would be vacancy and dereliction. We have a huge amount of property that could be turned around quickly, much more efficient in terms of construction workers. And most of it doesn't need infrastructure, which is also going to save on time, because people forget that you need workers for the infrastructure as well. And, you know, the push to zone more land further out actually will put more pressure on workers needed for infrastructure closer inland, redeveloping in brownfield sites in towns and making use of existing buildings is a far more efficient way of reducing the demand on construction workers, I think, than thinking there's a quick fix by factory built.
The VAT cut on apartments.
Well, I think it was a very inflationary measure, and I don't think that we will see much for it, to be honest. The apartments that are already on site this year were going to be built anyway, whether there was a benefit back to the developer in terms of a VAT cut or not. And you can calculate very easily what the VAT cut means in terms of land values just at the time when local authorities and the LDA are looking to acquire land for social and affordable housing. Inflating land values really wasn't the right approach.
We seem to be always having this circular discussion when we start off talking about modern methods of construction and how to get houses built faster for less workers. Yeah. And then it comes back to the price of land so often.
So often, and the process as well. You know, we have inefficient procurement policies and systems. I think rather than this piecemeal approach of lobbyists maybe coming forward with a quick fix on one little tiny piece of the big picture, we need a much more strategic approach and a vision for what we actually want out of this. I don't think there is a vision at the moment of what housing in Ireland will look like in the next 30 or 40 years, or what our new housing communities will be to meet the needs of the people. You know, we're building housing without thinking of the services these people need, the childcare, the GP, the school, the sports pitches and everything else that goes with it. And the private sector will not provide those.
OK, we'll leave it there for now. Orla Hegarty from UCD School of Architecture, many thanks for joining us with that.